puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It is time now for Abandoned Manitoba. Local historian Gordon Goldsboro joins us this morning. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Marjorie.
Now, take us back to the clue that you had last week.
I said that I had recently visited an abandoned site in the North Interlake part of Manitoba, and I found several people there. But all I got from them were cold, stony stares. The site to which I was referring contains what can only be described as a surreal collection of concrete sculptures near the village of Grahamdale that was created by an eccentric farmer named Armand Lamise.
Sculptures of what?
Well, mostly the sculptures are of people. They're roughly life-size, but sometimes rendered in a sort of an exaggerated or a symbolic way. There are a few animals, such as apes, serpents. There's even a Sasquatch. But there are others. Mr. Lamise tackled such weighty themes as global politics, human evolution, and world religions. So we find God, angels, the devil, Adam and Eve. They're all represented in his sculptures.
Tell us a little bit more about the sculptor. Who is Armand Lamise?
He was born in Belgium in 1894. His father abandoned the family when he was just 6 years old. He and his mother, along with his sister Paula, came to Canada in 1911. Lamise worked in Winnipeg for a while to raise some money. Then he bought 160 acres of land, a quarter section, in the Interlake, and he cleared it of bush by hand and by horse. He built a small house for himself, and he and his mother lived together there until the end of her life in 1945. Lamise had a small farm. He had an orchard of over 100 plum trees, as well as apple trees and crab apples. Although he did try the occasional experiment, such as operating a fish farm in a pond on his property, Lamise was mostly old school in his approach to farming. So, for example, he was still using a team of horses in 1974 when he was 80.
Wow. So how did he get involved in art?
Well, apparently Lamise had studied art in high school back in Belgium, but when he first came to Canada, his attention was naturally focused on establishing himself, you know, building his farm for himself. He started to return to art, though, during the winter of 1927, when he was inspired by a hired hand of his who had studied oil painting in Germany. So he took up painting.
What sort of subjects did Lamise paint?
Whole range of things. There were traditional landscapes, views of homesteading in Manitoba, portraits of people. Well, some of the paintings were simply products of his imagination, sometimes with a rather blunt political message. Some, for example, related to the injustice that Lamise felt affected him and other Manitoba farmers during the Great Depression. And he had a very dim view of U.S. President Richard Nixon as a result of Nixon's actions during the Vietnam War. So, for example, he painted at least one portrait of Nixon after his election in 1969, making a victory sign while sinking in a sea of blood.
Wow. So what did he end up doing with his paintings?
Apparently, Lamise would occasionally give away a painting as a gift to someone, but he did refuse to sell them. And so as a result, there were over 530 paintings in his collection by the mid-1970s. And by that time, his interest had actually turned to sculpture using the rather unconventional medium of concrete rather than stone. He would create a metal skeleton of the sculpture, then would mold the wet concrete onto it. Like his paintings, though, the themes of his sculptures were quite diverse, ranging from biblical scenes to overt political statements, portraits of family, or real or imaginary animals. You know, one sculpture, for example, shows a pair of apes sitting side by side and is labeled "My Father and His Girlfriend." In the end, he created 21 sculptures, including one of a naked woman in repose that he sometimes referred to as his wife.
Wow. My goodness. Gordon, if he didn't sell his art, how did people find out about him?
Well, Lamise was happy to have visitors at his farm. They had school children would come on expeditions to see his art and his sculptures. They were displayed in his home or in a small outbuilding nearby that he called the Pioneers Memorial Gallery. In his senior years, Lemieux actually, you know, wanted to preserve his collection. He lobbied the provincial government to turn it into a public park, turn the land into a place where everyone could come and enjoy. Unfortunately, that never happened. So Lemieux died a bachelor in 1984 at the age of 90, and he was buried quietly in the Grahamdale Cemetery. His home and his farm buildings were apparently already in a fairly advanced state of deterioration by this time. So I guess they just decided they were not well suited for ongoing use.
What happened to his artwork after he died?
Lemieux's will bequeathed his property to a relative, and it set aside some land for the establishment of a museum. So he was still hoping that there could be some means to display his art. After nearly 2 years of study, though, and a proposal to move the artwork and the sculptures to a facility at Moosehorn, the material was deemed by provincial officials to have, and apparently this is a direct quote, no cultural value. And so the idea basically died. You know, I found references in historical newspapers to some of his paintings that had been gifted to people being offered for sale at auction. So I suspect there's probably still a few Lemieux paintings in private collections, but according to a sign at the site, all of Lemieux's remaining artwork was destroyed.
And the concrete sculptures, what ended up happening to them?
Well, by 1999, Lemieux's old farmyard was being reclaimed by nature. It was getting quite overgrown. A local group of residents thought that they wanted to see something done to protect the site. So when I visited a few weeks ago, I'm happy to report that the Lemieux farmyard has really been spruced up by the rural municipality of Grahamdale. The grass has been nicely mowed. There is a new gate. And there's nice interpretive signs that are posted beside each of the sculptures. They state when the sculpture was created. Most were created between 1967 and 1976. They say what it was intended to symbolize, because some of them it's kind of hard to tell. There's a few quotes from Lemieux, and there's also a few photographs to show what the sculptures used to look like.
What condition are they in now?
Well, in the 37 years since Lemieux died, the effects of freezing and thawing combined with vandalism have played havoc on many of the sculptures. You know, some are reasonably intact. So, for example, I found a lion. It was mostly there, all there, but the head was covered in the orange Xanthoria lichen that we discussed here in this series a few weeks ago. Some, on the other hand, are missing hands or heads. Unfortunately, a few, including a larger-than-life-size statue of Lemieux himself, have been turned into little more than rubble. So I would encourage listeners to check out the Lemieux sculpture garden before they're too far gone. It's really quite an impressive and, I would dare say, haunting sight.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate that some of the sculptures are not still standing. It would have been really cool to check them out and see them in their original form.
Absolutely.
Gordon, thank you so much for this. So what's up for next week?
Well, many of our listeners look forward to a summer enjoying the pleasures of forested lake country. Next week, we will consider the origins of cottage country in southeastern Manitoba as revealed by an abandoned log cabin.
Thanks again, Gordon.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.